Founded four centuries ago, Boston has simply never settled. Conversations here determine the future, so let's discover what's next. Join us as we seek out the real Boston, past and present, through stories and perspectives that capture a city always in motion. I'm Martha Sheridan, CEO of Meet Boston, and this is Boston Found. Welcome to Boston Found, the podcast of Meet Boston. Today, we're excited to welcome our guest, Ariel Foxman from WS Development. Ariel's going to tell us all that's happening in the Seaport District and beyond and what we can expect in the future. So, Ariel, we're excited to have you today. I always like to start by asking my guests to talk a little bit about themselves and their journey. So how did you end up here in Boston and working with WS Development?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here and chat with you. I moved to Boston 3 years ago. I lived in New York City for most of my adult life. I worked in publishing in magazines. And as that industry shrunk, I thought, okay, it's been a really nice ride. I've loved being able to communicate with big audiences about all sorts of things, but I need to do that in a different way, in a different format. It was the middle of COVID. My husband, who works in education, had said, I think it's time for us to leave New York City. He had been working for the mayor, so you can only imagine what that was like during COVID. It was a 24/7 job for him. And he said, I'm going to look for opportunities. Are you open to moving to other cities? I said, I'm open to moving into warm cities or something local. And he said, okay, that's a good narrow, down for us. And he got this wonderful opportunity in Boston. I had gone to school at Harvard 20 plus years ago. So I felt like it was familiar enough, but new enough and exciting enough. And so we moved to Boston in the middle of COVID with our then 4-year-old son, who's now 6. And I remember when Brandon, my husband, was looking at neighborhoods before I even came up with him, and he was being courted by this job. They said, look at this neighborhood, look at this neighborhood. And he said, I'm calling you from Seaport. It's this really cool neighborhood. And I, having not been to Boston in a couple of years and only really having a reference of when I was here for those 4 years, I was like, there's no such thing as Seaport.
Right.
I said, you mean Faneuil Hall and Quincy Market? He was like, no, it's something new. And I was like, no, there's nothing new neighborhood wise in Boston. What are you talking about? And he said, no, you have to come. And so a couple of weekends later we came, and because it was COVID, there were so few hotels open, but the Envoy in Seaport was open.
Oh, that's a good one.
I got to Seaport and I thought, well, yes, this didn't exist for sure. And it was very clear to me that this was a neighborhood that had very thoughtful people behind it, developing it, designing it. And I started to investigate it a little bit more. We kept coming back to the Envoy, and there's Martin's Park. We thought, okay, Martin's Park is such a fantastic amenity. It's near the Children's Museum. Like, our son would love to move to Seaport, right? He's obsessed with boats and planes. You can see the airport, you can see the ferries. And so we thought it also felt like a close enough connection for being in city living that we were used to, going down in an elevator, apartment living, getting your coffee, not having to be in your car. And so we chose to move to Seaport. And I had been a consultant and was doing that work for about a year and a half, and then got interested in what is behind Seaport. Had a bunch of conversations with WS Development, of course, who's behind the big majority of the development in the neighborhood. And first the conversations were, what's your experience as somebody who's come from New York, who's worked in editorial and marketing, and who's worked in the field of getting people excited, right?
I mean, because
my magazine work was all about getting people informed, inspired, ready to act. And I said, I love this about Seaport. I have questions about this. Are you working on that? And they said, why don't you come on board and do this work with our incredible Seaport marketing team? So that was a little over 2 years ago. I jumped onto a moving train, right? Because this Seaport didn't start 2 years ago. It's been in development for quite some time. And the team there has been incredible and growing it. And it was really at an interesting point where they had done the work to put Seaport on the map as something new and innovative and attractive. And now I had the job of working with the team to understand, what do we need more of? What do we need less of? Who have we not engaged, you know, in the deepest way? Who do we want to have come on board? How do the folks now who want to pop up here and shop here or open up something here, how do you get them now that we've created this magnet? How do you balance all that work from a marketing?
Tell me your title, because it seems fitting for what you just described.
Yeah, I'm the Vice President of Brand and Experience.
That's perfect.
In Boston Seaport. And so I remember telling my parents that, and they said, what does it mean? And I said, it's a neighborhood. So anything you do in the neighborhood, anything you're going to literally experience, my team and I have to think about, right? And so you should never feel that as a consumer or a visitor or a resident or employee that someone's thought about it, because it should be so seamless and so inviting
baked
and hospitable.
Exactly.
A lot of work goes into that, sure. Right? It's a new neighborhood. We don't have the benefit of it having been like this for 100 years, mm-hmm. for better or for worse, right? A lot of it has to be created from scratch. And so I get to do that really exciting work.
That's fantastic. And so how have you found your time in Boston so far? Are you enjoying it? Is it what you expected? Is your son enjoying it here and your husband?
I love it here. We are very, very happy. I think there's nothing you can't take for granted when you are parents of a young child. And we made a decision to, you know, create our family in New York City at the time. And I knew this was going to be a challenge. So many people, so many lines. So, you know, we were up for it, but having moved to Boston is such, like, I can't state this enough. And I tell this to everyone, such a family friendly city. You have all the cultural institutions you would want. You have all the newness, all the history, all the amenities. All the sort of diversity that you would want your child to be exposed to, but it's easy to navigate. It's easy to get around. It's a pleasure
to
be a
parent.
That's
what we like to say. I think you should come work for me in Boston. What do you think?
You know what? I think we do in
yes,
some way,
you
right?
Do. You do. You're a great supporter.
You know, so it's been a joy, and our son loves it here. I mean, listen, where else in his experience was he going to go to a public school and learn to ice skate?
That's fantastic.
You know, every week.
Well, he's in the North End for school, so he could also play bocce.
Yeah, he's eventually in the North End. He comes home and he says he's learning Spanish privately. Our son is Cuban American. And I said, okay, tell me how to say this in Spanish. And he says, it's this in Spanish, but it's also this in Italian, because he's learning Italian at the Elliott. So like, it's such like an incredible, diverse experience. I mean, there's nothing more picturesque than walking my child to school in the North End.
Yes, that's perfect.
You know, and seeing the gelaterias open up and the guys with the pipes as you're walking down. And it's just, it's magical.
It certainly has retained so much charm there. I totally agree with you.
So we're very happy.
Talk to us a little bit. You talked about your title and, you know, what you're trying to accomplish at the Seaport. Talk to us a little bit about some of those exciting lifestyle and experiential developments that are happening right now in the Seaport.
You know, my team and I are always thinking about memory making. You know this as well as I. When you come to Boston and someone says Seaport, the first thing they'll say is, 10 years ago, this neighborhood didn't exist. 10 years ago, it was parking lots. 10 years ago, et cetera, right? Like, and so to build a neighborhood that is so exciting and so inviting in and of itself is a great task. But I think because it sits in Boston and all the other neighborhoods have such rich history, whether it's architectural or, you know, events that have been there or the way in which people have experienced it or lived there, our job is to create new memories for people who are coming to Seaport, whether you're coming once, you know, for a conference and you've been there and this is your, you know, your introduction to the neighborhood, or you live there or you live adjacent to Seaport, how do we create things that are memorable? And that could be a great distinctive food experience, right? You're coming to get a taiyaki ice cream cone, or now you're getting udon at Yume.
Oh, I heard that sounds exciting.
It's super exciting, right? But also, like, are you coming to any of our 500 plus activations? And what does that mean? Are you coming for free concerts? Are you coming for free fitness? Are you coming to our holiday market? I mean, we know that 1.2 million people came through our holiday market this past year. So it's really exciting to me to know that we are creating a calendar of events that people can explore, discover, but also rely on, you know, and create a connection with this new neighborhood so that it feels over time as something that is part of their genuine Boston experience.
That's perfect.
And so we do that through tenants, we do that through activations, we do that through partnerships with our cultural institutions. We're doing that to make sure that, one, you feel welcome. Two, you understand how to get there. Three, when you get there, what's an experience that's going to be really like distinctive to you and your family or you and your friends or colleagues. And then you go home and think, well, I wonder when they're going to do that again. I want to come back.
Talking about new businesses, new development, you've been very intentional and WS has been intentional about encouraging and including BIPOC businesses within your mix. And, you know, obviously of late, you've gotten a lot of traction there. Talk a little bit about that effort and why does that underpin your values and the values of WS development?
Sure. The company is very intentional broadly, right? We have this incredible privilege and opportunity to create a neighborhood. It's a neighborhood, right? It's not something private. It's got public realm. It's got parks. It's got streets, all these things, right? And we want it to be as welcoming and as accessible as any neighborhood in the United States. And so that means so many things, including opportunities for BIPOC businesses to thrive. And even more than that, reflecting the community in which we live. Right. So people want to feel like they're exploring new and exciting resources, but that they're getting a real breadth of what Boston has to offer. And I'm very proud of the work that WS Development has done because they're very thoughtful. It's not about checking a box. It's really about threading the needle to make sure that any business, whether it's BIPOC owned or otherwise, has the best chance of succeeding. And so I think of Chef Olry, who opened Zazzy Bar, a permanent restaurant fixture this past year, but he didn't start there. Chef had an affinity for the neighborhood. He did food trucks at our market. He did two cultural festivals, Zazz Festival in the summer. So he really got to know the neighborhood. We got to know him as a tenant. And then it was the next step was you're going to open a restaurant and it's going to be successful. And so those building blocks, you know, we have a very popular store in the neighborhood called Little Words Project, owned by Latinx woman out of New Jersey, actually. And she had an opportunity to test the neighborhood at our pop-ups at The Current. She found success there. Now she's a permanent store in Seaport. So it's very intentional. It's about making sure there's no leaps made, that the right partner is at the right time in the right space, you know. And then you have somebody like Nia Grace, right, who, you know, is a legend in so many categories, who opened Grace by Nia. And it's been an, you know, an overnight success. I mean, success isn't even the word. I mean, it's a smash hit.
Sensation, it sure is.
And then today, you know, we were just talking that last week they announced it's going to have a Foxwoods version. So
amazing.
So it's really at all levels and it's very intentional. And we've had other BIPOC-owned businesses that have seen different type of success. We've had, you know, Andrew Alicia, who owns Seaport Barbers, who's now got Harris Seaport. He's got a salon. So it's part of the fabric of the way in which WS is so thoughtful about the mix. And again, like setting people up for success, because never a box checked is going to yield something great.
So are you seeing as a, not necessarily as a result, but are you seeing more diversity in the clientele in the Seaport as you walk around the neighborhood? I know I have because I spend time there. And
I'll tell you something. When my husband and I were looking at neighborhoods coming from New York City, we chose Seaport because our experience on the streets, even in COVID, was that this was a very diverse neighborhood. That when you were in, you know, line for getting coffee, or you were walking, or you're in a restaurant, or you're at the Children's Museum, to me, it felt, and to my husband, who's Hispanic, as a gay family, we thought this felt diverse. Mm-hmm. This felt like we could feel at home here. And all the new businesses, all the markets, all the activations has really opened up, you know, more and more touch points for people to come into the neighborhood. You know, when the Obama Foundation is here and has an event in Seaport at Grace by Nia, like that's just an incredibly proud moment for Boston and for Seaport.
Absolutely. So we are in the leisure travel business, but also, as you know, meetings and convention side of the business. Tell me a little bit about how you think the BCEC impacts the neighborhood. Can you feel it when we have a citywide convention in town? And are you ever out on the streets listening to people's reactions or eavesdropping on conversations? And, you know, what is their What is their impression when they see what's surrounding that building now? Because as we all know, it used to stand alone pretty much out there. So it's, you know, seriously some great assets there for convention delegates. But, you know, what's your perspective there?
I mean, absolutely. To me, it feels like the tides, you know, like when there's a great conference there or the convention center is packed, we see this huge increase, you know, incremental in terms of traffic and interest. I mean, the most exciting thing of late is that we've opened our Summer Street steps, which will connect, you know, the BCEC directly, a big promenade directly into Seaport, right? So knowing that we've opened up that threshold where people can cross in, and it's really, really natural for folks like to take an hour and come into the Seaport and take a fitness class or go have, you know, a drink or whatever it is, or go shop. It's super exciting. You absolutely feel the energy. I remember when the NAACP was here, you had so many people on the streets. All of our venues were packed. Reservations were impossible. We had the furry convention was here recently, and you could see them in costume. Like, you know, not every convention has the density and maybe the length, but we do. We see it, and we let our tenants know ahead of time. Like, these folks are in town. Traffic patterns may shift, but all of our tenants see like the boats rise with the tide, and to have this now open Summer Street steps where there's no question about, okay, I really want to go there, but do I have to go here or left or down a rickety staircase? And it's just this open boulevard, which is going to be, you know, I think an even bigger boon.
Expand a little bit on the steps. Just talk a little bit about the project and maybe any other ongoing projects that we can expect in the future.
We're very proud of the Summer Street steps opening. Listen, we are the South Boston waterfront, but we were cut off from the BCEC and beyond, right? I mean, literally, physically cut off, right? If you wanted to drive, I remember when I first moved here, I was like, kept saying to myself, this can't be you. You can't be getting this wrong all the time. This is impossible to traverse. And by foot, it was, you know, this one rickety staircase I felt like from the Depression era, you know, like it was scary. Like, sure. It felt like someone was chasing you down this dark alley. And to open up the Summer Street steps really as an amenity for Boston and everyone who's visiting, to say like, this is a natural, you are right. You are naturally wanting to come down to the neighborhood, and now you have this opening. And what's exciting about it is that it's just the beginning. So that will connect to what will be our vertical park, Harbor Way, which will open in full from Autumn Lane all the way to the BCEC this summer.
Fantastic.
So you'll have this enormous promenade with landscaping and places to sit and relax. Of course, all of our tenants will be there, and there'll be pop-up events as well. And so it really feels like it broke open the neighborhood. And like, one of the things that our team is tasked with the most is like, how do you take this new neighborhood and connect it to the vibrancy that is Boston, right? And you can do that in so many ways, but if you have a physical barrier, it's very challenging. Mm-hmm. And that is now gone.
That's exciting.
You know, which is just a real gift to the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's so exciting. Yeah. What else can we expect coming up in the Seaport?
We just keep expanding, right? So more and more public realm will open. We have a whole slew of tenants coming to you. Museum of Ice Cream is coming into the neighborhood. F1.
Who's not going to love that,
by
the way?
I'm so excited.
That's so exciting.
F1 Arcade. So this is a simulator experience with a high-end food and beverage component. The first of its kind in the U.S. It's only in the U.K. right now. They chose Seaport to open. That's coming. A whole slew of new tenants are coming, new food concepts. We're working on our summer market again. And all of our outdoor programming, whether it's concerts or our Seaport Smalls for families and our Seaport Sweat, all of that will be rolling out again in April and May. So, you know, it's a 24/7 neighborhood. It never shuts down, but the warm weather really brings it to life. So we're planning all of that excitement for the summer.
Now, the mix of people on the street, is it, you know, a third visitors, a third residents, and maybe a third Bostonians who don't live in that area? Or do you have a sense of what that is like? I'm sure it's different at different times of year.
Yeah, and different times of the day, really, you know, and it shifts, but
we've got the workers as well,
yeah,
obviously.
Of course.
There's a lot of office buildings.
When we sign a new tenant or a new partner who's going to show up in the neighborhood, and maybe they're not familiar with Boston or Seaport, the first thing I tell them is, you have to understand this is the unique characteristic of this neighborhood. It's not like most city neighborhoods that are predominantly residents or predominantly office or predominantly tourists. Like, we have the gift of that churn. We always have that blend, right? Like there's tens of thousands of people who live in the Seaport day in, day out. There's people who live there part-time. There's people who are coming through to go on the ferries. There's people who are coming to the airport. There's all these, you know, office space, there's Amazon, there's Foundation Medicine, there's Vertex, you know, you name it. And then there's people coming from the region and from the suburbs, right? Because we have so many First to Boston offerings. Mm-hmm. So you have to come to Seaport if you want to experience so many of these things. And so that blend is so magical. It makes the team insane sometimes, right? Because you're trying to create something that appeals to so many people.
That's a wide audience.
Yeah, it's a very wide audience, but it's a privilege for us, you know? And we do so much in the neighborhood because not everything's going to appeal to everybody, mm-hmm. right? And so we listen. We listen to what people are saying in reviews. We listen to what people are sending us via email. We listen to our tenants. We listen to our hospitality partners, our hotels, the BCEC. What do people want? What do people like? What's the balance? And it's always shifting, right? Like we don't do anything the same year in, year out.
Well, we find it to be a great yin and a yang, if you will, to you know, the historic district and the traditional Boston that, you know, some people have come and visited and have not come back to see. But now we say, but there's more. Yeah. And we say there's neighborhoods like the Seaport, or have you checked out East Boston or Roxbury or Dorchester? And for us, that's so exciting to have sort of this new shiny penny, so to speak, that exists in a lot of our neighborhoods that visitors who have been here once before may not have experienced. So we're like, come back, come back, come back. And I think it's working. I do. I think we're getting more repeat visitation as a result of places like the Seaport and our other dynamic neighborhoods.
I bet.
Yeah, we love that. So we know that you love the Seaport, but talk a little bit about what else you like to do in and around Boston.
So any free time I have, I'm a dad. I'm a dad of a six-year-old, a very energetic six-year-old, like most. We really do the rotation of the cultural institutions. It's so rich and it's never boring. And it's, again, so easy for families to really access them. And so if we're not at the MFA, we're at the ICA, we're at the Science Museum, we're at the Children's Museum. But my child also loves to be outdoors. And we for the holidays, one of the gifts we gave him was a coupon to use, a coupon for a late night, a coupon for, you know, a pizza dinner. The one he was most excited about was family hike.
Oh, I love it.
Because we will just pick a random park, and there are so many, and they're so big. And we'll just say, let's go explore. And we do this almost every Sunday that there's good weather.
Fantastic.
And so he really loves that. And it makes it feel like you're getting the best of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in nature, but we can take the tea somewhere. Right. And that's an adventure in and of itself. So we do a lot of that. And we spend a lot of our summer in Provincetown.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
you take the ferry right from the Seaport.
Yes, we take the ferry. Exactly. So you get that, you know, for us, it's a real extension of Boston. You know, our Boston life is really well-rounded and complete because of that Cape experience. Mm-hmm. And we do it in a sort of drop in, come back to the Seaport, drop in, come back to the Seaport. But we like to spend a lot of time there. We like the community there. We like to meet other Bostonians. Mm-hmm. I've met so many people from the New England region there who I've then developed friendships with here in Boston. So we spend a lot of time there as well.
It is. It's a beautiful spot. And it's gorgeous. It's so easy to get to via ferry. So can you tell us, how do visitors find out what's happening in the Seaport? What's available to them? What events and activities are going on? What's the easiest way to access information?
Yeah, we have two really great ways. You follow us on Instagram, if that's your platform, at Seaport Boss, BOS. You have all the updates, everything that's happening in the neighborhood, all new tenant openings, all of our free activities, or you go to bostonseaport.xyz. That link is on our Instagram as well. And you can see our calendar of events, everything that's happening, not just WS-wise, but district-wide. You see all of our events. You can find out everything about store hours and anything that's happening in the news about Seaport.
Well, this has been a lovely conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ariel, we really appreciate all that you're doing for the Seaport, for Boston. On behalf of Meet Boston, you've been a great supporter of ours. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. And thank you for all your hard work and partnership.
Looking to find more Boston stories? Go to meetboston.com. And don't forget to share and subscribe to the Boston Found podcast.
This podcast was produced by Mudhouse Media.